Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG episode 18, Ethan Weiss back with you once again. Rainy Tuesday evening after a Giants loss. Let's get into everything after we take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. And I tell you guys every week, but for some reason you're not listening. Guys, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please, helps us grow. Go subscribe. Link should be posted on Twitter. Hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a kind review. That's basically all the housekeeping we have today. Weiss, it wasn't pretty. That's the overall message, I think. The offense looked like garbage. Defense looked pretty good. And quite frankly, I think it's pretty easy to kind of dissect the biggest problems with the Giants offense. And I'll let you
cough,
kinda,
cough, 74, cough, cough.
Cough, cough, 74, hashtag not my left tackle. You know, I mean, if you'd like, I don't have like anything written down, but there is a lot on my mind regarding the offense. If you'll let me rant for a minute or two,
it's all you. Take over. All
right, let's do this. They had me fooled. I'll say it. The offense had me fooled coming into the season, and you know, you watch them in the preseason. People said, you know, the offense doesn't look good. They look stagnant. There's a lack of creativity. And I said, guys, don't worry. McAdoo's just he's exploring. He's trying to work on a few new things. We saw how dominant the offense was last year. They'll be back. As long as the defense is better, this team will be solid. Boy, was I wrong. Week after week, week after week, I prayed that this offense was finally going to get it together. They had a stretch of mediocre teams, and they finally faced a team that could outshoot them easily, if that's what were to happen. And not that it did, because the defense kept the Giants in the game, and we'll give them praise in a little bit. But, I mean, this game, if the last six, and because they were wins, they probably didn't, if the last six wins, or last six games, didn't kind of put the flaws of this Giants offense on display, then this loss to the Steelers certainly did. Now, there's a few different angles I can take on it. I'd like to start with Eli Manning, because I feel like I see a lot of people, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's in some blog comment sections, shitting on Eli Manning, saying that he's the reason the Giants' offense stinks, saying that he needs to play better. Enough. Stop it. Eli hasn't been great this year. We get it. He is not the Eli he was last year. He's not the Eli he was 2 years ago. This isn't the Eli that we saw during the Super Bowl runs. We get it. But Eli Manning is not a bad quarterback. I can name 20 GMs in the NFL that would take Eli Manning on their team, no questions asked. Okay? Eli is not the problem. He can play better. Absolutely. You look around and you look at what this offense is, okay? You have a 35-year-old non-mobile quarterback. He's probably one of the least mobile quarterbacks in the league, who isn't good on the run, who doesn't have a lot of mobility. He's aging. He's not the spring chicken he used to be. You have an offensive line where Eric Flowers did not get better this offseason. Justin Pugh's injured. There's no continuity for Weston Richburg, and the right side of the offensive line is what it is. You know what you're getting out of John Jerry. Bobby Hart's a sixth or seventh round pick, whatever he was, and he has played well. I'll give him that. But this isn't a great offensive line. I think Pro Football Focus has them rated 19th, which, to be quite honest, is being kind, because their pressure and sack numbers are low because of how quickly Eli needs to get the ball out of his hands. 74 is hindering this offense in a way I don't think I've seen in years. It's truly remarkable. You know, you look to other tackles in the league that are struggling. TJ Clemens of the Vikings comes to mind, and he graded out worse than TJ Clemens per Pro Football Focus this week, which is remarkable, really. I mean, you watch the tape, and it's absolutely embarrassing. You have some guys who aren't performing up to their standards, okay? You throw Eli in there. Well, why is Eli Manning not performing? Well, look at the rest of the offense. You have an offensive line that's seriously struggling to protect a quarterback that has never been good outside of the pocket or maneuvering or, you know, using his legs. Vanilla Vic is a joke. He's not a mobile quarterback, guys. Okay? You look to the wide receiver core. You have Odell back again, top three receiver in the league. You're not going to find us fighting over that. You're not going to find any analysts saying he's not. Okay? He is a stud. Outside of that, what do you have? You have a rookie second-round pick and another wide receiver who hasn't played much in the slot, even though that's where he excelled, who hasn't played in 2 years, coming off of devastating knee surgery. So you don't really exactly have a bang-up wide receiver core. Throw Roger Lewis in there, who is an undrafted free agent out of a school that ran a spread offense in the MAC. Okay? This isn't an exceptionally talented group outside of Odell Beckham. And then you look to the tight ends. I mean, how predictable was that play to Larry Dunell in the red zone? Unbelievable. You have someone like Will Tye, who Eli Manning's throwing four-yard routes to. The dude's a dump truck. Okay, he's not going to get you yards after the catch. You need to get him the ball downfield, throw it to him in the seam. Dunell is useless. He doesn't deserve any playing time. And then we saw in the first quarter the reason that Jarrell Adams isn't ready for the majority of the passing duties with that. He timed that throw horribly. So it is what it is. There's problems on this offense. And last but not least, they're not being helped by the guy in charge, Ben McAdoo. 92% of the time, 11 personnel. Not getting creative at all. Same guys out there all the time. And when you have the same guys out there all the time, the route tree is limited. The defense can play cover two over the top, can limit them, can slow the time it takes for the wide receivers to get open. And when you prevent the wide receivers from getting open within 2 seconds and you have a bad offensive line, you see what happens. It's really not that hard to understand. I don't understand why some people are confused by it. The offense, and Ben McAdoo said it, the offense is what it is. It doesn't have to be. I think Ben McAdoo can get more creative. But those are the issues that need to be addressed this week going into what could be a season-defining game against the Dallas Cowboys. That's it. Weiss, I'll let you pick where you want to start.
I'll piggyback off you a little bit. You know, you had me agreeing with you for the most part. But then when you started talking about the receivers, you kind of made it seem like you're starting to make excuses for Eli Manning. And here's why. First of all, they have one of the best receiving corps in the NFL. They are better than a lot of teams out there that are contending right now. I think you and I can both agree the main problem with this offense is execution. Now, when I say execution, people automatically assume that I'm taking the blame off the offensive line or I'm not blaming Eli Manning. This team is, how can I put this? They are in a shell of themselves. We understand this offensive line. We can sit here and Eric Flowers is not a left. He is not ready to play left tackle right now.
And we'll get to him specifically later on.
I don't know if he will. I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't have a spot on this offensive line. I'm not going to say that. But right now, left tackle is just not for him. Something is not clicking. I think it's an easy fix. I really do. I think it's an easy fix. It's a fix that the Giants can do. It's a fix that Eric Flowers has to commit to. But it's just not happening right now, and it's starting to cost this team. Now, the offensive line as a whole, we're going to take away the left tackle spot. Overall on Sunday, they graded out positively through Pro Football Focus. I think what you're seeing is this: there's so much emphasis on balance with this offense. There's so much emphasis on we can't, you know, not commit to the run game. But the thing is, there is no balance. You know, the Giants' first five plays against the Steelers, they ran Rashad Jennings twice. He had 5 yards. He also caught 3 passes for 23 yards. It wasn't amazing, but they were able to move the ball. Then you get into a 3rd and 4, and all of a sudden we see a deep throw to Jarrell Adams. Now, I like Jarrell Adams. You like Jarrell Adams. We've all been asking for him to play more. But why are we running a deep route to Jarrell Adams? Was it a broken play? Was it, you know, a play designed? I don't understand that. You know, then after that, the Giants ran the ball, you know, 5 of their next 18 plays in the first half, gaining only 17 yards. So there's no balance there. When I speak of execution, it's a lot to it. I think, you know, schemes are a part of it. But sometimes they're just not making plays. And when they make plays, there's a holding. when they're able to move the ball, there's a boneheaded play like a red zone interception. Now we can sit here and we can critique every single play and say, okay, well this led to that and this led to that. But at the end of the day, you know, Ben McAdoo sure can do a better job calling plays, can do a better job of scheming. And I think I'll save for what needs to, how we can fix this offense for later. But I think the big thing here for the Giants offense going forward is they're going to have to utilize their strengths more. And I don't have a problem with them running the same personnel. But if you're going to do it, you got to get creative with it. You got to find ways to, you know, even though it might look like you're being predictable, you got to, you know, be unpredictable. So I really think that these three, the same, you know, personnel that they're running, it's fine. You're playing to your strengths. But when you're not targeting Victor Cruz for a game, when Sterling Shepard only has 6 targets, that, you know, you're really becoming more predictable than what you already are. So it's to me that all falls into execution, and that's the biggest reason why I think this team is just not clicking on offense. There's spurts. There are times where they move the ball, but then you see a penalty, or you see a play that doesn't go nowhere, or you see a drop pass or a bad throw. And that's, to me, that's what slows down this offense a lot. And people are not really understanding how many of those plays the Giants have in every game. So, you know, short term, they got to execute better.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to execution. A few things that you brought up that I sort of want to touch on was one, the wide receiver core. And listen, I don't disagree that this unit could be a top unit, but there are other units with guys who aren't as big a name as Odell and Victor Cruz and even Sterling Shepard, who is a top pick, that have been performing better than these guys. I think that they have talents that aren't being utilized properly, and you spoke about utilization. I agree with you on that point. But if you look at the core outside of Odell, you have undrafted free agent Roger Lewis. Okay, he is what he is. You're going to get out of him what you're going to get out of him. He's a big target, could be utilized better, but he's going to take time to develop. Victor Cruz, he hasn't played in 2 years, and I don't think any of us had high hopes for Victor Cruz. I think I said earlier in the season, or before the season started, that 800 yards and 6 touchdowns would have been a successful season for him. Probably not going to reach that, but it's not like he had a high ceiling to begin with. And then Sterling Shepard, he's a rookie. I can find 2 other rookies that were picked before him that are also struggling. It's not the easiest position to pick up in the NFL. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think that this is like the best supporting cast of all time. I agree with you that they aren't being utilized properly, but this isn't like some, oh my God, we need to fear Victor Cruz, or oh my God, we need to fear Sterling Shepard. You know, they're good. They need to be utilized better. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. In terms of the rest of the offensive line, listen, I everyone knows my feelings on 74 and him excluded. Weston Richburg hasn't been playing well. You saw it on the tape. You saw that blitz that no one picked up that was right on his side. And I'm curious as to, you know, you look at how well he played last year. And this goes for other players too. You look to how well Eli played last year and the numbers that he put up. And you look to Richburg, who was widely regarded, not just by, you know, us with our mics and podcasts, but actual NFL draft analysts, as having evolved into a top 3 center in the league. And you look at his regression and you say, listen, this guy was a high pick. He developed last year at the proper position, not at left guard like he did his rookie year. He played very well. There's no reason for the drop-off outside of maybe the lack of continuity and having no Justin Pugh next to him right now, or even John Jerry. Listen, John Jerry has been okay. He is what he is. So you have the rest of the offensive line. I know Pro Football Focus said that they only gave up, you know, half the amount of pressures combined that Ereck Flowers did. You know, and that's because 74 played so terribly. It also could be because of the fact that Eli's getting the ball out so quickly because he just has no time. And I know that some of the stats, like the number of sacks and hits that this line gives up, is masked because Eli's getting the ball out of his hands so quickly. So I just wanted to touch on those. Let's talk about...
I think the main problem with this offense is the lack of trust that they have in their offensive line. I think that's what it is. I think it's tough. I'll give you an example. when they were in third and, 18, I think, or third and 13, all Pittsburgh needed to do was just blitz. That's all they needed to do, because there was no way that if they were able to get to Eli Manning, which they were doing consistently, that the receivers would be able to get down the field that quickly. So, I'm with you. I think the problem lies in the offensive line. It's probably the main reason why this offense can't kick it into that high gear. I just think it's more of a complex issue throughout the whole scheme and throughout the whole, the way players are being used. I think it's much bigger than that.
No, I agree.
I do think that looking at this Pittsburgh game, I think, it's a week-to-week season. I can't go back and remember what was happening against, Cleveland or Chicago, but just looking at this game, you could see that the failure to execute, that was a problem, but this offense can't kick it into that next gear because of the inconsistencies on the offense, on the offensive line. There's too much inconsistencies. The only consistent thing about that offensive line is, the struggles of Eric Flowers.
Something that I thought was interesting to think about, and I thought it was very ironic, is you look at Ben McAdoo's offense, and would you agree he's being fairly stubborn in the way he's been running it?
I wouldn't say he's being stubborn. I think the big thing with McAdoo, I think he's just putting too much on his plate right now. And I think, I guess we'll dive into this, how we can fix the offense, right? I think with McAdoo, this year he's got to just go with what he's been doing and just hope it clicks. Now we got to just play the hope game. But going into the offseason, going into next year, I think he's got to consider, I'm going to say it's called renovating his offense. This offense is a complete renovation. And what I mean by that is, he's got to bring in one of his, or go find an offensive coordinator who runs the systems, can help make changes, can help, prep throughout the week. Because, look, Mike Sullivan, I know Eli Manning has a lot of respect for him. He's been with Eli throughout his whole career. He's been with the organization for a long time. I think he still has a role with the team, but I just don't think it's working out with him as the offensive coordinator. I think coaching plays a big part, and it's not just play calling. It's the preparation, it's the schemes, it's the way to get creative. They're just not doing it enough. And I think it's too much for McAdoo to handle right now. I think he should consider bringing in somebody else who will call plays, who will run his offense, who will, do a better job of preparing these guys and having better schemes and getting creative and stuff that a lot of people are yelling about that needs to happen with this offense. But yeah. I wouldn't say he's stubborn. I think he's doing too much right now. I think he's too much on his plate, and he's going through the motions. I wouldn't call him stubbornness, because he has changed some things up. As far as the personnel sets, they're playing to their strengths. Do I think 92% or whatever that number one is high? Of course it's high, but I wouldn't call him being stubborn.
Okay, I guess we'll agree to disagree on that. I think he's being somewhat stubborn, not only in the play calling, but the personnel. We just talked about the 11 personnel, and it's 92% of the time. And, stubbornness to really let Paul Perkins get a majority of the running duties. There's a lot of it, at least in my opinion, my perception of it is that he's being a little stubborn. And my whole point and why I brought this up is I thought it was ironic that last year people complained about Coughlin and him being stubborn in the way he ran things, and now we have the offensive coordinator of last year who's being sort of stubborn. But let's talk about ways to fix the offense after we talk about 74.
Eric Flowers.
74. Hashtag not my left tackle.
Let's be gentle.
Listen, I don't know how much more gentle I can be.
I think we can both agree that he's not suited to play left tackle as we see him right now.
Yep, no. And it's something that I have spoken about since last year. I never thought he projected to be a very good NFL tackle. Here's my problem with Flowers. How long is his rookie contract? It's 4 years with the option. That could be five, okay?
He's going to be here for that 5 years.
And why wouldn't he be? So Let's look at it this way. Let's just look at it from the basic 4 years, okay? Because then there is the possibility after that that he is no longer on the team, which I agree with you. I think he still will be, but let's say 4 years as a baseline. We're almost through his second season. We have seen maybe during the win streak where they're playing inferior teams, maybe then we saw, oh, okay, he didn't play poorly, which is not a very high standard for a 9th overall pick. He has not shown an iota of overall improvement. His technique still sucks. It's really mind-blowing to look at. And the reason I brought up the 4 years is because people say, you know what, I don't want to give up on him because we got to give him time. It's a hard position to learn. He's only 22. Well, you know what? He's only 22. He's halfway through the potential end of his contract, basically, because no one's going to expect a massive turnaround in these next 5 games, maybe the playoffs if that's what happens to the Giants, and we'll talk about the playoff possibilities after we talk about how to fix the offense. You've got essentially potentially half his tenure with the Giants over and no signs of improvement. Now, we've spoken about the fact that he doesn't project to be a left tackle, so where does he play? My whole problem is this. I've said that I think Justin Pugh can be a good tackle. He's played right tackle. He's played left tackle. People bring up the short arms argument. Shut up with the short arms. I don't care. I think Justin Pugh is better against speed guys, which is why him and Flowers swapping, in theory, makes sense. What doesn't make sense is taking the already struggling rookie out of the position that he's been playing, putting him in the place of someone who has been graded out as a top 5 left guard so far this season, before his injury. So not only are you moving him from his natural position, but now you're moving someone who's excelling at his current position and forcing him to play a new position. So in theory, it's something that I brought up many times as being a possible solution, swapping Flowers and Pugh sort of makes sense. I don't think it makes sense right now. Currently, I think you need to just let him try to figure it out is option one. Option two is to use more jumbo sets and have a 6 offensive lineman. But the main problem with that is that if McAdoo isn't going to vary the offense and get out of the 11 personnel set, then you have one less threat and the offense becomes a whole lot even more predictable than it already is, if you can even imagine. And the third option, which I would not be opposed to, but hey, I'm not at practice, is Will Beatty, because I find it very hard to believe that a washed-up Will Beatty is going to be worse than what we're seeing out of Eric Flowers.
I'm with you. I think, listen, there were two plays where he cost this team. One play he cost the team a safety, and it wasn't a questionable holding call. He grabbed the guy's helmet. That's a holding. That's not a questionable call. We agree on that, right? It was a holding penalty.
Yeah, right? 100% holding.
I had no problem with them calling it. I know people are like, that's not a holding. Yeah, it is.
He had his arm around the dude's neck.
Yeah, and he was grabbing the helmet. I mean, it's a holding. There's that. The option of him swapping him and Pugh, it's tough. I don't think they're going to do it. That is one theory if you're looking of how we can fix this. There is that. He's never played guard ever. It doesn't look like, even though he's been playing left tackle so quickly, it doesn't look like he's been playing left tackle in the pros either. It's the way he's been playing. But, I really think they're that's what I would do if I was a coach. I'm not the coach, but that's something that I would consider in the short term. You could do the jumbo and hope that that helps as well, although I think you wouldn't be able to do it as consistently as you want to. Listen, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, but, I mean, at some point, Eric Flowers, you're a top 10 pick, man the F up, like, we're not asking you to be, obviously we're hoping you can turn into be a great left tackle, but I mean, come on.
At this point, all we're asking is you to be average.
Don't cost us anything. I mean, just man the F up. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and question his commitment to the game or whether he wants to play. I'm not going to do that. I don't know him on a personal level, but I mean, just watching him, it's like the same mistakes over and over and over again. And, I can't imagine being the offensive – I can't imagine being Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, and sitting in that film room and looking at his plays. while he's sitting there. Like, what must be going through everyone else's mind who's in that room, you know, just watching Eric Flowers? Like, if I was Eric Flowers, I would be embarrassed for myself. Like, I think last Sunday was the worst performance by an offensive lineman that I have seen in a while. T.J. Clemmings was bad, but T.J. Clemmings had some plays where he was okay, where he didn't give up. At one point, I was watching this game, and I'm like, okay, let me find a play where Eric Flowers doesn't get beat off the edge. No, I'm serious.
I know, that's why it's... I'm sorry. So, oh, yeah, my God.
I'm telling myself, I'm like, dude, can you just man the F up? This is not Von Miller. I mean, I'm not going to disrespect James Harrison, but the dude's like, what, 38, 39 years
old?
He's 40 years old. I mean, come on. And he's doing the same move on him every single time. Pushing him out left, then using his power. Goes out or goes out, kind of puts Flowers on that island, pushes him in. It's like, come on, same play over and over and over again. Look, I would swap Pugh and Flowers. I would consider benching him. You know, you can't tell me Larry Donnell was a worse tight end than Eric Flowers, has been a worse left tackle. You bench Larry Donnell. I cold-heartedly agree with you that you should have. You have to consider doing something with this guy. If you don't, then he needs to just man the F up. I mean, come on. Like, it looks like he doesn't even deserve to be on the field.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
This was the worst game I've ever seen him play, and he's played a lot of bad games. I have sat up here and I have, you know, made excuses for him and just said, you know, we just got to give him a chance. He's going to improve. He's gonna get... But he's doing the same things over and over again. Pat Flaherty, the former offensive line coach.
You're about to take the words out of my mouth. I know what you're going to say.
He didn't forget how to coach.
There he is.
You know, and Mike Solari is a good offensive line coach. Mike Solari has worked with great offensive linemen in the past. If you guys don't know about Mike Solari, look him up. He's worked with Hall of Fame offensive linemen in his career. This guy knows how to coach offensive linemen. I was so happy when they brought him in because I was such a big fan of his. But it's like, you know, we're going to fire another offensive line coach? I mean, come on. Like, at some point, just man up. Just man up and play. Like, I mean,
listen, if we want to get into that, and this was something that was said by Sean O'Hara during one of the post games, he said, and I had tweeted this, and I quote, "Eric Flowers is what you call a coach killer." And it was very, very, very clear that he was still salty about the Pat Flaherty firing from this past offseason because he was obviously O'Hara's offensive line coach and coached a lot of good offensive linemen over the last however many years he was a coach. How long was Flaherty even the offensive line coach for? At least 10 years?
He was a while. I don't think there are some other things behind the scenes that were going on with Pat Flaherty that kind of made the departure happen. But yes, the relationship with Eric Flowers, you know, played a role as well. But there were some other things internally that were going on, even way after Sean O'Hara's days, even in the recent years, that also led to this. I don't think we should put the whole thing on Flowers. But yeah, it's like you said. I mean, you know, it's at some point this guy has to man up. I mean, this guy is not like we're not talking about. Jerry Reese reached for this guy. We'll agree on that.
Yep.
But I mean, Eric Flowers was projected to be a first round draft pick, right? I mean, he was projected to go in the first round. Maybe not in the top 10, but he was going to go in the top 20 or top 25 or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's like he doesn't even look like an NFL caliber player. Like, I don't understand what he's doing.
It really is crazy.
What he's doing. And you know what? Like, I've talked to people, like, over the last, you know, 40 hours, people that watch offensive linemen and dissect the thing, and they say it's really not that hard of a fix. You really just have to learn how to use your hands.
I wrote about it. I tweeted it. It seems like he's just got an unwillingness to learn. It's amazing.
That's what I fear, is that that's the way we're going, is that he's not willing to listen to people. I'm very hesitant to say that because I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't want to start rumors and I don't want to, you know, be someone that's starting something that's not true. But it's like people that I talk to, they tell me it's not hard to fix his problem. His footwork has been better. He's able to get off the line of scrimmage better. But the hands are not in the proper place, and that's what's leading to holding. That's what's leading to him being beat off the edge. It's because he doesn't have the proper hand placement. So, you know, I mean, you just got to man up. Like,
well, that's what happens when you train with your dad instead of with Charles Bentley.
Listen, I read that. I saw that, and I read people talking about that. And I don't want to – I'm not going to – I think he needs to go to one of these camps that these other offensive linemen went to. But where he works out with and who he works out with is not – I don't think we should – that should be something that's up for discussion. I think that's his own personal life. Yeah, you know, hanging out or, you know, training with your family instead of, you know, your teammates, that could be an issue. But it's not something that I think we should question him about. I think that's something he's been doing his whole life. If you look at the background into Eric Flowers,
no, listen, I know the background with him and his dad and the fact that his dad basically raised him. But if you're making millions and millions of dollars and you're the worst at your position, then sorry, dude, I think you gotta go to LeCharles.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is there's going to be some changes this offseason. I think you're going to see him possibly go. I'm not saying he's going to go to LeCharles Bentley or whatever, but I think possibly he could be in for some different workout routine. I'll leave it at that.
Sure. I guess one final thing, because I feel like we didn't touch on it. People who were saying move him to right tackle, I mean, it's same technique, different side, and you're going to be facing top pass rushers anyway because they don't just put top defensive end. I mean, look at JPP. He plays left defensive end to go up against the right tackle. So moving him to a different tackle spot's really not going to do that much because at the end of the day, the defense is just going to expose the matchup.
The only thing I'm really, when it comes to Eric Flowers, I've been an advocate of, you know, just let him learn. I mean, at this point, I'm just going off hope. I hope he can turn into a capable left tackle for us. So I really got nothing else.
All we need is for him to not be a liability.
That's it. For the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Going into next year, if they still decide to keep him, you know, at the left tackle position, or if they, you know, I don't want to go into next season, but he's going to have to improve, you know, heavily going into year three because, you know, like you said, man, it's winding down on this contract. We've got to see what's going on with this rookie or this, you know, second year guy that we dropped him in the top 10.
Yeah. All right. Talk about how to fix the offense.
You know, with the offense fixing it short term, I think, you know, I said this earlier, if you're going to run the same personnel for, what is it, 90%+ of the time?
It's like 92, I think.
Here's the thing. You're already simplified because your offensive line is inconsistent and blocky, right?
Right. For me, I just want to say this, and I brought it up earlier. It's a chain reaction because when you know exactly what the offense is throwing out there, you know sort of what to prepare for. The route tree is limited. You have the two safeties over the top. We saw the defensive coordinator say, oh, we're just going to play cover two because all they do is the 11 personnel set. You're limited already, and then your quarterback doesn't have enough time.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'll make a comment about Eli, and that's a realization that I realized watching that game Sunday. But here's the thing with this offense. Their offensive line is inconsistent. It'll block some plays. It'll miss some other plays. Guys will get whiffed. Stuff will happen. Penalties will happen. It's a very inconsistent offensive line. What happens is when you can't block for an extended period of time, when you can't max protect consistently and the quarterback doesn't have enough time, what happens is you're asking a lot from your receivers.
Right.
Right? You're asking a lot for them to do after the catch. So that's why a lot of times you saw Odell Beckham catch the ball, turn around, there's 10 guys there. He's trying to make something out of nothing. So anyways, so you're asking a lot for your receivers. Your receivers are running short routes. So right there is an advantage into the defense because they know, okay, you know, if we get pressure, which we probably are, their receivers just aren't humanly possible to get down the field that quickly. So what happens is you're left with a roadblock in your offense right there. Secondly, you're running the same personnel, right? First of all, you can't run the ball. You're inconsistent running the ball because your offensive line can't block. So that's another thing that's giving you more of a roadblock in your offense. Then you're running the same personnel, and you're not using all three of the receivers consistently. We talked to play to your strengths. You know, I understand Victor Cruz might not be getting separation, but he needs to get some sort of targets. They do a good job moving Beckham around in the slot outside. Shepard, who's been mostly in the slot, they move him outside. Victor Cruz should come into the slot sometimes.
Agree. That's where he's thrived most of his career.
Mix it up. Like this was my point earlier. If you're going to run the same personnel, fine. But mix it up. Become unpredictable. You know, line wide receivers up in different spots. You know, line Odell up sometimes in the backfield. You know, do some stuff. Get creative with this personnel set. Not just the same thing, people in the same spots every single time. They have to be more consistent at what they want to run, and they got to get more creative. So, you know, short term, you have to play your strengths more. I think the running game, the offense looked really well when Paul Perkins was in the backfield. You can see watching Paul Perkins. If there's one positive I want to take away from this game on offense, Paul Perkins is just so fun to watch, watching him run. He only had, what, 7 carries for 38 yards. But he had a couple. He put a couple moves on.
James Harrison is still collecting his ankles on the field as we speak.
Was that the one? Was it James Harrison?
It was James Harrison. I think there were two, and I think one was James Harrison. I forget who the other one was, but there were two that he just stopped on a dime, juked to the left, and went.
And it's not only that. Like, if you watch Rashad Jennings and you watch Paul Perkins, when Jennings he's hesitant and he doesn't have the speed, so when he hits the hole, the hole can close quickly on him. But Perkins sees and boom, he's off. He can get to that second level very quickly. So what Rashad Jennings might get, a 2-yard carry or a 3-yard carry, Perkins can get 5 or 6 because of his speed, because of his movement. And I wanted to say something about Eli Manning that I realized. Eli Manning is 35 years old. Eli Manning, you know, as great as he is, I don't think he can carry an offense like what the Giants are trying to ask him to do. I think, you know, I like Paul Perkins, but I think in the offseason they still need another bell cow running back. They need to work on their offensive line, obviously, but they also need to get another running back in there, and maybe they need to change their approach of, you know, maybe not being a pass-heavy team. They can still be a pass-first team. There's a difference between that, but they got to get him a running back that can help him, because I just see, like, that shoulder is just not the same, and it's expected. You know, he can still play for another 2-3 years and give us, you know, great years. But I think, you know, they got to get him some help. They got to get him a running back there. I would say a bell cow running back for Eli Manning is as important as getting him a reliable tight end.
Sure. A few points on that. And this is sort of what I was touching on earlier with people kind of blaming this, you know, on Eli Manning. He's such a terrible quarterback. I brought it up. He's 35. He's no spring chicken. People are acting him to carry this team like an Andrew Luck or an Aaron Rodgers. Eli's never been that guy. He's not mobile. He doesn't have the ability to just take the game into his hands like someone like Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a running back, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a defense, and that team is still at 500 and performing well. Someone like Andrew Luck, I mean, terrible offensive line, you know, mediocre defense, but the guy's mobile. So say what you will about that. My whole problem with this is it's not with Eli. It's if you realize what you have in Eli. You saw what happened last season. You know you have a bad offensive line. You threw $200 million at the defense. Why not bring in some extra guys? You knew the offensive line was bad, and now you're asking someone who's slowly exiting his prime. You know, he put up good numbers last year with a bad offensive line. To me, those numbers are slightly inflated because of how bad the defense was and constantly playing from behind, which they haven't had to do very much this season because our defense is very good this year. And I feel like that shouldn't go understated because we're talking about how bad 74 is and the offense is. Defense has been unbelievable. And
it's been amazing. I think.
And I want to give them proper credit.
Yeah, of course.
But so bottom line is, I agree with you. Which is why it's frustrating to me that they said, all right, cool, let's go into the season with the same offensive line, and then on top of that, not really add to the tight end pool or the running back pool with, you know, instead of just using a late round pick, actually going out there and getting someone. I will, however, I do want to disagree with you on the running back point. And not that I do think Eli needs a bell cow to succeed. I am just increasingly confident that that guy can be Paul Perkins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No. I agree. But when I say bell cow, I think Perkins is the Ahmad Bradshaw. But they need that Brandon Jacobs.
So, and here's my only counter. And it was what we saw last year, and it's what I'm afraid we're going to start seeing now that Verena's back. It's too many cooks in the kitchen. Last year with the bad offensive line, you have this ridiculous four running back committee. No one can get into a rhythm. No one can hit these holes in the offensive line. To me, personally, I would much rather give Paul Perkins every first and second down carry and use him sparingly on third down and pass down situations, assuming Vereen is back next year and they can use him as the third down pass catching back, because I think Vereen will help this team when he comes back, hopefully this week, as soon as he's medically cleared. But to me, I'm a big believer in running back rhythm, especially because we don't know what potential upgrades we're going to have on the offensive line next year. Give me a guy who can get into a rhythm. I love what I've seen out of Paul Perkins, so in very limited play this year. I know you have too. Maybe this is just differing philosophies, but it's really not that big of a deal, honestly. We're talking about next year already. I love Paul Perkins. I was one of the people that was hesitant to jump on board the Paul Perkins bandwagon when they first picked him, because it was, okay, sixth-round pick, everyone's...
I understand.
Right? And I know you were one of the first people to start hyping him up. I love what I've seen so far. So, yeah, that's my view on the running back situation.
I just think Perkins gives you a lot. I don't think Vereen's going to be back this year. I don't think Jennings is going to be back. But I think that they should be... this is a deep running back class, and I think the Giants... I don't want to make this about next season, but I think the Giants are going to be picking late. Just by doing some early research, it doesn't seem like the offensive line class is that heavy this year. You know, possibly taking the running back in the first round, you know, Leonard Fournette, you know, somebody like that, the dude from Texas, one of those backs pop up in the first round. I would consider it, given my quarterback and given my situation. So that's just my opinion. I think that, you know, looking into building giving Eli a bell cow to go along with Paul Perkins next year, because I don't think Vereen is going to be back, I would help. But in the short term, like you said, with Vereen coming in, you fear that it might go into Paul Perkins' snaps. I think what they should do is they should have a lot of sets where both Vereen and Perkins are on the field, because not only will it help the running game, but also they can catch passes out of the backfield. So it's more of two guys that can take some of the pressure off the receivers as well. So short term with Vereen coming back, Thursday is a big day for the Giants because they'll be in padded practice. I think that's when we'll find out if Vereen's going to come off IR. And if he does, having him is going to be huge for this offense, because I think he did play well. He did have some fumble issues, but he did play well when he was with us. So I think he will help a lot. But I want to see both Perkins and Vereen on the field.
Totally agree. We need versatility. And we kind of got a little off topic here. I think where we originally started was fixing the offense. Not only do I want to see two running back sets, just give me for seven snaps a game, give me a two tight end set. Let them block for a few, and then let Will Ty run a seam route and keep Jarrell Adams short, because he's got the athleticism and the potential yard after catch ability. Will Ty is good in the seam. I don't know why they're running these third down 4 yard passes to Will Ty. It's very frustrating. Give me some two tight end sets. Give me some two running back sets. Show me a little creativity. And what was funny to me is that the best play of the game, in my opinion, was when they did that screen pass to Jennings, because it was the most believable fake out of all time. Oh no, the offensive line collapsed. Yeah, that happens on every play. Boom, something happens.
You talk about the screen play where they score the touchdown?
Yeah.
Like if you watch the play, like six Steelers went in the direction of Beckham.
Yeah.
Like the whole secondary went that way. So decoys like that, like that. That's what I think. That's what we're kind of hinting is like you got to use some of these guys as decoys to open it up for other guys.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of like what I think. What I'm trying to say, I can't speak for you.
No, it's I don't know. I just want to see creativity at the end of the day. Okay, we're 45 minutes in. Let's do Cowboys a little bit. I feel like. Kind of a big matchup we should discuss now that we're done shitting on the offense. Where do you want to start? Offense, defense, just do a general quick run through.
I think last week I talked about how the Giants offense can move the ball on the Steelers. So this week I'll do the defense.
Okay.
And then do the offense.
Sure.
It's pretty easy, in my opinion. Defensively, they got to stop the run. Now, I don't know if Jason Pierre-Paul is going to play. I don't want to speculate. I don't want to, you know, a lot of the players, it didn't seem like they think he'd be out there. It seems like he has avoided a major injury, but he'll probably be out this week. But they got to stop the run, man. I said earlier with Eric Flowers, next guy has to come in. He has to man up going up against Doug Free and the rest of that offensive line. I think if they're able to stop the run, you know, Prescott, he's a rookie. He has made plays. But I think, number one, you got to stop the run. And it's tough because you know what's coming. You know Ezekiel Elliott's coming. But you have to be able to stop the run, contain him. Don't let him beat you with big plays. Don't let them. Because if you can't stop the run, then what's going to end up doing is Prescott's going to be able to make some plays. Outside, you know, Cole Beasley's the big one that they go to a lot in the slot. So I would like to see, you know, DRC make some plays, play him in the slot. This is where I think DRC needs to play a lot of snaps. I don't want to see Trevin Wade against Cole Beasley. I will
Jesus
lose my
Christ.
Mind. If
Please
I
no.
see, I'm going to kill someone or myself.
If you get arrested for murder, we'll burn this. No one will ever listen.
Do you know what I see right now? Trevin Wade in the slot on Beasley.
Oh, no.
Beasley catches a 4-yard out route.
And takes it to the house.
Should be tackled, but instead breaks the tackle, goes 20 yards, first down.
Yep. No, I could totally see that happening.
So it starts with stopping the run. Secondary has to be able to play better like they did in week one. And it's going to be a tough matchup, man, for this defense, especially if they're without Jason Pierre-Paul.
Okay. Giants offense. Cowboys defense, honestly not that great. I think their DVOA is like 27th in the league. That obviously should inspire confidence, but based on last week's performance against what was a supposedly 25th ranked Steelers defense, it doesn't really inspire that much confidence. For me, the Cowboys run game is their best defensive weapon, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Keep running the ball. Keep getting first downs. The Giants need to efficiently move the ball and take time off the clock. Because if they start with this bullshit 2-yard run, holding penalty, 3-yard catch, shotgun draw, punt nonsense that we've seen so often, and I'm sure that play combination might give some of you listeners PTSD, but if that happens and the Cowboys dominate time of possession, much like we saw the Steelers do, Steelers had like 10 more minutes possession than the Giants did last week, it's going to be a long day. And not only because they'll get exhausted, but because you already have JPP banged up, don't even know if he's going to play. Olivier Vernon finally recovered from a broken wrist, but you can't risk him getting injured because then your pass rush is totally screwed. Snacks Harrison and John Hankins left with minor injuries last week. Apparently they're just going to be sore. You don't want these guys out there for an extended period of time. And I think the Giants defense has been out there, I think, the second most of any team in the NFL, second most of any defense. I think the 49ers may be worse. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know for a fact that it's bad. The Giants need to move the ball efficiently, take time off the clock, because as soon as this ball gets into Zeke Elliott's hands and behind that offensive line, I mean, I know the Giants' run defense has been good, and I know they stopped him in game one, but listen, if you look at the sample size, Zeke Elliott's averaging like 5 yards per carry. I know the Giants' defense is top in the league. I just don't want to chance it. keep the ball out of his hands. That's what it's going to come down to, efficiently moving the ball down the field and capitalizing. Because the Giants, multiple times, were like 20 yards away from 7 or 3 points or whatever during the Steelers game. So, to me, it's the Giants' offense's job to keep the ball away from Zeke Elliott. That's my my take.
Yeah, I think one thing you said too is when talking about the offense is I want to just say they're going to have to – it's going to be tough to win the time of possession battle against the Cowboys, but they're going to have to be able to extend drives for them. They're going to have, you know, move the ball and be able to do a lot offensively because, like you said, you know, JPP's a little doubt in there that he's going to be there on Sunday. But, you know, Vernon played amazing for us since he got here. Snacks and Hankins, they're banged up as well. They really, really, really got to do a good job on offense to really be able to not have this defense on the field for an extended period of time because it'll show in that fourth quarter. It showed last week when Bell kind of, you know, in the fourth quarter, when they were so worn down, Le'Veon Bell was just, they were just chugging away with Le'Veon Bell and were able to, he was able to get over 100. So they have to be able to extend drives on offense and on defense. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. You know, that offensive line is no joke.
Agree. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about this then. Let's talk real briefly. End of the season. Got the Cowboys, the Lions, the Eagles, and the Redskins. Despite my negativity, guys, I'm very optimistic the Giants still make the playoffs. I think that just because we know what they are doesn't mean that they can't pull out 2 wins of the last 4. That being said, I don't think one of those comes against the Cowboys. I'm predicting another loss. I do think, however, they'll beat the Lions. Call me an idiot all you want. Something about the Lions is just off to me, and I'm just not totally impressed by them. I know Stafford has just morphed into 2011 Eli with these fourth quarter comebacks, but I think the Giants have the tools to stop that offense. And then, I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched the Eagles at all, and I know it's a divisional game. Carson Wentz looks like total shit. So, you know, call me an idiot again for not being totally worried about stealing one from the Eagles or the Redskins. I think the Giants finish 10-6. I think they make the playoffs. I don't know if it'll be as the 5th or 6th wild card spot, but I do see the Giants making the playoffs.
But you have them losing Sunday to Dallas.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, we're back and forth. I did. Listen, the Giant offense gives and none of us hope. I mean, you see the potential there, but it's just not giving us any hope. But, you know, I think, yeah, I'm going to do this again. I think,
say it.
Because the Cowboys are 3 up, because they're most likely going to win this division, and because the Giants on offense were just so pathetic and their offensive line was just so pathetic.
Trap game for the Cowboys?
No, it's not a trap game. I just think that right now the Giants just need this game more. See, last week a lot of people said the Giants' backs were against the wall. I disagree. The Steelers' backs were against the wall.
They 100%. 100%.
They were at home. Baltimore had already won earlier in the day. They needed that game. And it's December, and it was Pittsburgh, and they needed to win that home game, and it's already tough to win there. But I just think in this game, their backs are so against the wall. And without Jason Pierre-Paul, there's no reason for me to pick this team to win. But I just think that if this was a game where, you know, the Giants won there in first place, I'd go with the Cowboys just because I just think the Cowboys would be able to wear them down. But I think they win this week. I think they complete the season sweep. I think they need this game. Listen, they got 2 home games left, and they're 5-1 at home. They've responded well to losses in the past, the way they responded against the Ravens at home after losing to the Packers, which I think was, that if you were to talk about the 2 worst offensive line performances, it would be the Steelers game and the Packers game, right? Those are the 2 worst. I think the offensive line responds. I'm not going to sit here and say you know, automatically flip the switch. They are who they are, but I think they do a better job. They aren't facing as good of a pass rush, a good of overall defense. And I think they win this game. I think that they'll win a close game again. They probably won't score 30 points. We'll probably talk about the same offensive issues after the game. But I think they win this game, man. I think they go to 9-4. And I think you got to stop being disrespectful to the Detroit Lions.
Listen, I've heard that many times. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I don't know. I'm just not impressed by them.
If you were talking about the Atlanta Falcons, I'd give it to you. I think the Falcons are total frauds. But not the Detroit Lions.
All right. Time will tell. I'm actually really excited for that game. So, let's do some questions. I'll pull them up right now. Got a lot of questions about 74.
They aren't moving him to right guard this year.
Maybe in the future. Stop answering all the questions at once.
Right? I know. I saw a lot of them. Why don't they just can't do it. They can't afford to do it.
I know.
It's too much on the line for them to do it. As much as, you know, we would love for them to do it because we think Justin Pugh is a better left tackle and he probably is. They just aren't going to do that right now.
Yeah.
He has to man up. This isn't a sixth or seventh round pick who we're hoping. This is a first-round draft pick. Man up.
Okay, from Pat. Is the O-line execution issues more to blame for the running game than play calling? It's probably both. I mean, if you look at it, there aren't many holes. But at the same time, I mean, you just know when this team is going to run. I mean, end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think Shane Vereen coming back, I think it's a bigger help for this team than many people are talking about. He is a good runner. With the run game, I mean, there's so much inconsistency on this offensive line where there might be a hole. The running back goes through the hole, but it's that second level where they aren't able to break out. So it is execution. It's overall line play. The coaching staff needs to do a better job mixing up as well. But overall, man, I just think they are what they are, man, within the standings, if you look at the running game.
From NY Giants fan 1380, if JPP's injury ends up being season-ending, which I don't think it will, do you guys think this automatically ends possible contract extension talks?
No.
No, absolutely not. You saw the lengths that Jerry Reese and the Giants went through when he blew his hand off. Jerry Reese is in love with Jason Pierre-Paul. He was his guy. He drafted him. He's developed into one of the best 4-3 defensive ends in the NFL. And if anything, it probably helps the Giants because then they probably get a cheaper deal on JPP's contract. But, you know, I hope that it's not season-ending.
I don't think it's season-ending. I think if it was season-ending, we know by now.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I think there's doubts that he'll play Sunday. But I think... You know, he'll be back, you know, probably for hopefully Detroit game.
Yeah, agree. Do you guys, second question, do you guys think that they will move Flowers to right guard, right tackle, considering how stubborn they've been about his positioning before? We spoke about it earlier. No, I don't think they move him.
No, not this year. Maybe in the future.
Yeah. But
I do think there's a lot of concern there right now. This guy's not getting better.
Agree.
There's a lot of concern there.
There should be. Okay, this is from Ryan. How many games do you see us winning in our final four? I just gave my final end of the season prediction. I think they win two, most likely against the Lions and the Eagles in my book. We gave our predictions for the Cowboys game. I don't see them winning. Redskins division game, they could be in the wild card hunt as well. It gets tricky for me. So I say two of the next four they win.
I think they get I picked them to win the game Sunday. I think they get that one. Detroit will be tough. Detroit has a very good defense. Don't listen to Ethan when he says they're not good.
No. I never said that. I said maybe I'm an idiot, and it's seeming like I am. I don't know. For some reason, I don't perceive them as being that good. Their defense has played way better than last year, and their offense is very efficient. I'll give them that.
I think that could be a tough game for the Giants. Ultimately, I think I could see something where I don't like to predict games over a stretch because you just don't know. It's so week to week in the NFL. But I could see them winning one of the last two, which are on the road, and one of these next two, which are at home. So yeah. If you do the math, based on that, they'll probably lose to Detroit and win either at Philly or at Washington.
This one's interesting, and it's sort of related to something we spoke about earlier from Heatham O'Deh. Do you think the Giants should entertain Jennings at fullback with Perkins and Vereen as the two running backs?
Not in week 13 of the NFL.
Okay. I don't think it's a terrible idea just because of the kind of runner and body type and speed that Vereen has. And they're clearly missing some sort of blocking presence back there or at the tight end position. I don't know how effective it would be, but I thought it was interesting. Let's see. From Chet, why do you think we play to the level of the opponent? We play a bad, average team. We are average. We play a great team. We're great. To be quite honest, I don't know if I necessarily disagree with this notion that the Giants played down to their opponent. Here's what I think happens is if you look at the opponents that they have played, and you know, people were harping on the fact the Giants were frauds because they only beat these teams by, you know, less than a touchdown, the Bears, the Bengals, the Browns, teams like that. You just gotta look at it as, okay, the offense for the Giants stinks and the defense is really good. And the offense is what's going to score you points, and the defense has been what's keeping them in games, eventually getting turnovers. So if it's going to be a low-scoring affair, it's going to look like they're playing down to their competition level. And to me, I think it just falls on the inefficiencies at the offense because the defense has just been so good.
I would agree with that. I would really say I don't think they really play down to their competition as much. I think what it is that they don't have that decisive win on their schedule. It seems like every win that they have,
right,
everyone has an excuse for it.
Yeah.
Oh, they beat Dallas, but it was week one. Oh, they beat New Orleans and you know, kept Drew Brees in check and that offense in check. Oh, but it wasn't in the dome. It was at home. It was in New York, and their offense didn't look good. They beat Baltimore, yeah, but Baltimore was dealing with injuries. They beat Philly, but yeah, we learned that Philly's not that good. So I just think everyone has an excuse for every win the Giants have. Look, I think every team has flaws. It's how you overcome those flaws is what makes championship contenders. If you look in the NFL right now, I don't think there's one team that I can look at and say, you know what, I don't think the Giants can beat that team. I think they can beat any team because they have the talent. But it's just about making it work, man, at this point.
Agree. From Victoria... Hello, dear. If Pugh does not return against Dallas this week, are we 100% screwed? Eli has such bad PTSD, and Flowers is a problem. Agree. If Pugh does not return against Dallas, no, I don't think we're screwed. I think, obviously, they're missing him, but like we said before, Dallas's defense doesn't scare me. It's the run game and the offensive line that scares me for them. So I don't think they're screwed. I obviously think he's a huge upgrade, but... yeah, that's about it.
I agree. I think he'll play this week. He seemed very, very definitive that he was going to be out there for him. So he should help the offensive line. But again, I think Dallas's strength, as you said, their best defensive players is Ezekiel Elliott and how he's able to extend drives and keep their defense on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh boy. From Kamal, in your opinion, who is our main pending free agent target along with main draft focus? I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I haven't studied the free agent market that much. I don't know if you want to touch on it at all.
I mean, I looked at some free agent tackles this offseason.
I did too, because I did get a question about that for the hangover mailbag. And the only one, and you can touch on it too, the only one that stood out to me because he's a name and he's coming off injury, so it'll be cheap, was Matt Khalil.
Yeah, I saw him. There was another one, Riley Reiff. But this year, Riley Reiff had lost his left tackle position to a rookie.
Right.
I think the dude from Ohio State. I don't remember his name. Decker, something Decker.
I don't really know.
Anyway, the offseason, I think the Giants should really entertain the the Joe Thomas trade rumors.
They should have done it. They should have done it this season.
If I know the offer, what the asking price was, I would comment on it. But there's just I don't know what the asking price was, and based on what previous history has shown with the Denver deal, I don't know. But I think they should reopen that. They got so one way or another, they need to fix this offensive line.
Agree.
35-year-old quarterback. You know, it's just not working out. I like Bobby Hart. I think Bobby has a spot on this offensive line. I think that right tackle spot should be his. He has gotten better week to week. And I'm actually going to put something out either tomorrow or today to show you guys why I think he's gotten better week to week. It's just, man, Eric Flowers, man.
It's just Eric freaking Flowers. Dane.
Marshall Newhouse stepped in and has been playing guard well.
Yeah, seriously. It's really remarkable. Dane, can Shane Vereen play left tackle? Good one. Shelp asks, do you think we should only use Jennings in pass protection situations and short yard run plays?
Yeah, that'll be even more predictable. Right?
Yeah, really.
That's like the Giants are already predictable.
Listen, I've said this before. You know, I'm a Paul Perkins guy. For Jennings' usage, to me, and why I think that touchdown pass to him and screen passes in general seem to be successful with him is because, I don't think it's a predictable thing. I think people think he's in there to pass protect, not to actually go out there for a pass. So, you wouldn't hear me complaining if they utilized him more in the passing game, but I still think Paul Perkins deserves more of a lion's share, if you will.
Yeah, I think Paul Perkins has shown that he's capable of deserving more carries. I think you're starting to see that the last couple of weeks. His carries are more above Rashad Jennings. He did have more carries last week. He had 7. Rashad had 6. That's not enough. They got to run the ball more. I know the running game struggles, but you know they're already limited and they're making themselves more limited by not running the ball. You got to use Perkins more. I do think getting Vereen hopefully will help this offense a lot because Vereen. His strengths are what the Giants have kind of been missing. That speed, pass catcher out of the backfield, the blocking, the whole package, and I think Vereen offers that.
All right, let's do one more. Old boy asks, what do you think Cruz's future is with the Giants? Quite frankly, I'm not sure. It wouldn't shock me if he ended up being a cap casualty, but I think it's just way too early to speculate.
Yeah, it's way too early. I think with Cruz... he's definitely not going to be playing on the cap number that he has.
Right, exactly.
That's a guarantee. I love Victor Cruz. I think it's a tremendous story. The whole thing has just been awesome. Patterson kid grew up in the backyard, right behind MetLife Stadium, Giant Stadium. I hope he finishes his career with the Giants. I hope they can figure something out. I hope he can give us some more down the stretch. I did feel bad for him. I understand his anger. I think what the ultimate thing will be, I think Victor Cruz, if you were to ask me right now, I don't think Victor Cruz will be a Giant next year.
Yeah. But
a lot can change between now and the end of the year.
Agree. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the show. I actually want to try something for those who have listened to the end here. And I want you to tweet me the responses that you get from it. Wise, I didn't prep you for this at all. This is something that I saw on Twitter today. I actually showed one of my coworkers, and he was shocked as well. I want you to go to the Pro Football Reference website. I want you to pull up the 2016 game logs and summary for Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard. And I want you guys to screenshot them, the totals and the averages line. I want you to screenshot it without a name. I know you guys have got group texts. You got buddies you talk football with. You got fantasy football group chats. I want you to screenshot those without the name. And I want you to have your friends guess who the two running backs are. Because if you look at the stats, they are remarkably similar. Not totally similar. And I think Zeke's obviously the better back. But they have the same yards per carry average. They have the same number of 100-yard games. Zeke obviously has more total yards and more touchdowns than Jordan Howard does, but Jordan Howard has also played in way fewer games and has, I think, 60 or so, 80 maybe, fewer snaps. But I thought it was very interesting that there is another running back who's kind of low-key, doing it with a way worse offensive line, by the way, putting up respectable and efficient numbers like Ezekiel Elliott has been.
Let me ask you this. Who's a better offensive line, the Bears or the Giants?
Bears or the Giants? Yikes. I'll say the Giants.
They need to give the ball more to Paul Perkins because I think he can do what...
That's a good point. Hey, that's a really good point, actually. Because if you think about it, I mean, listen, if you got Pugh and Richburg there, it's two pieces to the puzzle, or two pieces to the solution, as long as you can fill in the other spots. So, time will tell. All right, end of the show. Guys, thank you if you listened all the way to the end. Go Giants this week. Subscribe. I will not be in the building, but I will try to give my dad the Tims. No promises. If not, I'll be wearing them on my couch this weekend. Wes, any final words?
Man, let's win this game.
Let's get this dub. I hate Cowboy fans.
I cannot deal with my mentions after a loss. It's almost like, okay, we lost the game. Fire the general manager. Fire the head coach. draft a new quarterback. Let's do this whole thing. After watching the Jets last night, I am very thankful that I am a New York Giants fan.
Exactly. And that's what I wake up every day and I look at the crosstown, I can't even call them a rival because they're so bad, and I say, thank God, I may be an Islanders fan, I may be a Mets fan, but I thank God for Big Blue and Eli Manning, and that I don't have to root for that dumpster fire called the New York Jets.
Yes. You guys need to be thankful and stop telling me we need to fire this or fire that. Nobody is getting fired. Nobody.
All right.
Not the quarterback, not the head coach. Nobody. Everyone's going to be back next year. Unless they go 8-8, because then I don't know what's going to happen. That'll be it.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
But they're not going 8-8 because they're going to win Sunday against Dallas.
Okay. Well, don't make the playoffs. That's my prediction. All right. NYG Weekly, episode 18 in the books. Peace.